ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕೆಯ ಚಕ್ಷುವನ್ಮೀಳಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷಶೂನ್ಯವಾದೀ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಶಾಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಪಯಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲಿಸಂ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್. In India and all over the world, it is observable that many pious people, religious people, they go to temple of some god with their family members and they worship, and many of them do it as a routine. Somebody may go every Friday or every Saturday or every Monday. And probably they do the same sometimes for 20, 30, 40 years. So once upon a time, when Narada Muni was wandering in India, he went to a Kumbh Mela where he saw crores of people. Then he went to Vrindavan. He saw thousands of people doing Giriraj Parikrama. He went to Rameshwaram. Again, another thousands and thousands of people taking bath in the 21 Koti Tirthams, holy waters. And even to Tirupati, there were lakhs of people attending Brahmotsavam. So Narada Muni was wondering, is it Kali Yuga or is it Satya Yuga? How is it that everywhere I am finding people are so religious, so pious? Everybody is ringing the bell in the temple and bowing down to God and praying. It seems to me that this world has become Vaikuntha here itself. I am so happy. And then Narada went to the spiritual sky. And then he was taken by surprise. Then he went to Lord Narayana. My dear Lord, when I was in the Bhuloka, I saw so many people were worshipping and performing religious activities. Now, when I come here to Vaikuntha, I don't find any of those fellows here. What's wrong? What's going wrong? Why are they not able to land in Vaikuntha? Then where else are they going? So, Lord Narayana, he didn't reply. He just smiled. And then Narada asked, my dear Lord, I am curious to know, when I come next time, can I bring a few people with me? Because I found them so religious. And Narayana said, why only few? You can bring as many as you wish. They really don't intend to come here to spiritual world. Although they seem to be very pious and religious. And Narada was taken by surprise. Why is it so? If they are so religious, then why don't they want to come here? My dear Lord, let me find out myself. So then he came to Bhuloka again. He went to different places like Kumbh Mela place in Rameshwaram. So he asked the people, he made a loud announcement, how many of you want to come to Vaikuntha? People heard him announce and they turned their face away and they proceeded in their own way. And he could not understand, why is it so? And then there was one gentleman who heard Narada Muni announcing for a long time. He said, when are you going? Narada Muni said, right now. Man said, I need some time to pack up my luggage and everything from home. Can I bring my wife, children, everybody? He said, no. And you don't need to pack any luggage. All facilities are available in spiritual sky. You just come with me, Narada Muni said. Oh, really? That's it? I can come with you, but when are you returning back? So Narada smiled and said, Yadgatva na nivartante taddhama paramam mama. My dear friend, I am not talking about going to heaven or going to hell. because heaven and hell are within the material world only. This is one brahmanda. You go to heaven when you do punya, then you come back to earth. You do pap, sinful activities, you go to hell, and again you come back to earth. But when you go to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha is beyond all the brahmandas. In the material realm, there are hundreds and thousands of brahmandas, so we call Lord Narayana as Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayak. But all these brahmandas are like a mustard seeds kept inside a sack. But outside the sack is Vaikuntha, which is spiritual sky, beyond heaven and hell. Once you go there, it is your eternal home. You never come back to this world, Narada said. So come with me, Narada said. The man said, oh, if I have to come back here, I mean, if I won't be able to come back here, then I am not coming with you. He also backed out. So Narada was very surprised. I am seeing people are so religious and pious, and why don't they want to go? Why is it so? Then when he researched, he found one thing. In one temple, a man was praying. He closed his eyes and prayed, Hey Bhagavan, aapki kripa se hamare business acha chal raha hai, hamari beti ka shadi ho gaya hai, hamare bete ke liye naukari lag gaya hai, is tarah aapne acha aashirwad diya hai, hamare parivar ke liye, bahut dhanyavad. And then he went out. Oh ho, Narada Muni thought, this fellow is telling about his business, his son and daughter, and he doesn't know anything, even A, B, C about God, whom he is praying to. Oh, oh, now I understand, he is simply I-centered. I, me, mine. So he has a bubble of I, me, mine around himself. And he never thinks of God at all. He thinks of only what I need. Now Narada Muni got an idea. Then he went to another temple. There he saw a man was regularly coming to the temple to pray. So he was a student in engineering college. He came to God and he prayed, Oh God, please pass me in first year. He passed him. Then he came in second year, please pass me in second year. He got a pass. Then he passed in all 4 years. Then he came to God and prayed, Oh God, now please get me a job. Placement is going on. So he got a job. Then after getting job, again he came to God after a couple of years. Oh God, now please give me promotion. You got a promotion also. Now he said, God, I am now 28 years, I am not getting married. Please get me married. So he got married also. After 3-4 years of marriage he came. Oh God, I am married but I don't have any children. You know, please bless me that I will have a son. So God said, Tadastu. So he went back. Now practically 15-16 years he didn't come to temple. And Narada Muni thought, what happened to this fellow? And one day again he came to temple. And God watched him and asked, Hey, what happened to you? You have come after a long time now. Where were you all the while? Yeah, I'm sort of busy there. I was going here and there. Now I have come for a very important thing, he said. What is that? He said, Oh God, please give engineering seat to my son also. I want him to become engineer. Then after a couple of years he came, Oh God, please pass him in first year. Next year, pass him in second year. Then later, pass him in final year. Then again he came one next year, please give him a job. Then after that he said, please get him married. So Narada Muni laughed to himself. Look at these people. They just come to temple to either fill up their hungry belly or to demand God for their material necessities. And they never talk about Atma, Paramatma, Vaikuntha. None of those things they talk. They are simply asking God for their daily bread and butter. Just like in Christianity also we see people, like when we were in convent, we used to sing a song. O Lord, hallowed be thy name, give us our daily bread. Like that we would end the morning song in our school. So the end of the prayer is, O God, give us my daily bread. So it is a bread-seeking prayer, that's all. So Srila Prabhupada, founder of ISKCON, he used to say, Our religion is not a bread seeking religion. Ours is a bread giving religion. You see Yashoda keeping Krishna on her lap and giving him butter. So we give God butter. We don't ask him for anything, he said. Why? Because without our asking, God provides everything. He provides rains, he provides fruits, he provides grains, he provides sunlight and moonlight and wind and whatnot. Any mother, father begetting a child will take care of the child even without the child asking. Imagine if the child is asking the mother to give a written bond that for the next 6 months or 1 year or 2 years she will supply breast milk to the child. What a ridiculous idea would it be? Similarly, God has brought us to this world, so it is his job to give us food, clothing, shelter, and he provides it also naturally. We don't even have to ask about it. Without our asking, he provides that. Then you may say, then should we go to temple of God or not? Yes, we have to go. But what should we ask? That we should know. What should we should ask? That's very important. So when we go to God, we should know to ask for the right thing. In that connection, I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, a king was passing through a jungle pathway in his golden chariot. And as he was passing by, suddenly the king remembered, today is my birthday and I would like to celebrate it today. Then he was looking for somebody. Is there any passerby I would like to offer some charity gifts on my birthday? Because in Vedic times, when you have your birthday, people would like to give gifts. Like Krishna, Balaram, on their birthday, they are giving cows to Brahmanas. They are feeding the poor people by giving them prasad. In Vrindavan, you will see. So on birthday, people generally give some gifts to others. In the modern times, people only receive gifts on birthdays. So the king wanted to give away some gift. So as he was passing by, he saw a passerby in the jungle. And he stopped his chariot and said, oh gentleman, you want any gifts from me, any charity? Today is my birthday. I am the king of the whole country. I am in a happy mood now. I would like to give you something. Do you want something? And the man was taken by surprise. How did this good fortune come in my life? Suddenly the king of the country is right here in front of me and is asking me whether I want anything. So the man looked at the king up and down. The king was wearing a golden coat and he had big gold buttons, spherical buttons. So the man looked at the buttons and said, my dear king, if only I could get one of those buttons which you are wearing, because they are solid gold button, not just gold plating button. If you can get just one of those buttons, my whole life I can eat and sleep nicely. The king laughed and said, what a great deal. Like that, he plucked out and gave one button to him. Take it. The man took it. And king asked, anything else you wish to have? The man said, nothing else. Thank you, my dear king. And the king proceeded ahead. Again he found another passerby. He stopped his chariot and asked him, would you like to have something from me? I'm king of the country. The man looked at the king in great surprise. And the man smiled and said, my dear king, I came to meet you in your palace, but the Dwarapalakas didn't let me come in. I had once come a few years ago. Now it's my good fortune that I could see you face to face. I'm very happy. The king said, that's all right, but tell me, what do you want to have? I would like to give you something. The man said, my dear king, I just came to you to thank you for being such an ideal Rajarishi king. Because Rajarishi means a king who is always guided by great souls, devotees of God. And you are leading the whole world so beautifully. Your whole country, all people are so happy. You are taking care of your citizens just like mother and father take care of the children. I just came to thank you, that's all. And I don't want anything, he said. King said, no, today is my birthday. I want to give you something. Ask me for something. Then the man thought for a minute and said, I only wish to have someone like you who can be a good friend of mine. What more can one ask of a king like you? I just wish to be to your friend, that's all. When the man heard it, when the king heard it, he became thoughtful. If he has to be my friend, what am I supposed to do? Then he picked up the man and put him on his chariot and took him to the court. There, he made him sit in a elevated seat. He gave him very costly dresses to wear. He called him during morning and lunch and dinner to eat with him, dine with him. In the evening when king would go for play, he would take this fellow with him to play. So they would play together, eat together, joke together, enjoy together like this as wonderful friends. And the king said, I also always long to have a genuine friend like you. Now I am so happy to have you with me. So this man became one of the ministers of the king and he lived a very happy life with him. Now, my dear friends, all of you think for a minute. This friend of the king, he didn't ask for clothes. He didn't ask for golden button. He didn't ask for a house. He didn't ask for food. He got all these things without even asking. Automatically, simply by becoming friend of the king. This is called the philosophy of Bhagavatam. The Bhagavat philosophy says, Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is by Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna. Bhagavatam says that one should go in front of the Lord and pray to him. Oh, my dear Lord, let me simply love you and serve you. See how Yashoda is serving you. How the covered boys are serving you. How even the cows and calves and Vrindavan are serving you. Let me just serve you. I simply want to love you and serve you. If you pray like this, then you also are like the friend of the king who was just roaming in the jungle and then he got to become the friend of the king. You will have the good fortune also in your life. So you all already heard before about ascending from fear, desire, duty, love. Isn't it? So this is a platform of pure love for God, which the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches. So there are many, many Puranas which teach us to go to different gods. Go to Surya and ask for good health. Go to Shiva and ask for a beautiful wife. Go to Parvati and ask for a handsome husband, wealthy husband. Or you can go to Kartikeya and ask him to protect different limbs of your body by chanting the Kandrasashti Kavacham and all that. Or go to Ganesha and ask him for removing the obstacles in your life. But if you go to Krishna and make friendship with him, all the other previous prayers you are making for different devatas, they all will be satisfied, fulfilled. It is exactly like pouring water in the root of a tree. If you pour water in the root of the tree, it's like worshipping Krishna. Then all the different branches and leaves and twigs get nourished. So all the devatas become satisfied. Because Bhagavatam says, Deva Narayana Angaja. The devatas are Angaja of Lord Narayana. They come from Narayana. They are all devotees of Narayana actually, Supreme Lord. And if you worship the Supreme Lord, then they all become satisfied also. In this way, the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us the pure philosophy of love, the eternal love, the supreme love. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse which says, Yavanartha udapane sarvata samplatodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. This verse says, in a village, sometimes there is a pond for washing your hands and legs. There is a pond for drinking water. There is a pond where people pass stool and then they wash. There is another pond for washing the clothes. There are sometimes sacred ponds which are used only by pujaris from temples to take water for the worship of the Lord in the temple. Nobody else can use those waters. So different ponds for different purposes. But Lord Krishna says in this verse that if there is a running river in that village, then all the purposes are served by a running river. In the same manner, he says, if you come to me, all your material needs also will be satisfied and you don't have to worry. You will get material needs also, you will get moksha also, you will get the get to the vicinity of the Lord where you can see him, you can touch him, you can play with him, you can eat with him, you can joke with him. In this way, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can become a close associate of the Lord. So, this is actually called as Parodharma, the occupation of the soul. See, the body has its occupation, like eating food, passing stool. We clean the body because all nine holes throw out dirty substances. We clean the body. That is dharma of the body. And dharma of the mind is to think, feel and will. Dharma of the intelligence is to make decisions, analyze, evaluate, compare, contrast, think and all that. So beyond the physical gross body and the inside subtle body, there is Atma inside. And what is the occupation of the Atma? That is Parodharma. That is the Dharma which is the supreme Dharma. So in the path of Bhakti Yoga, we chant this famous verse. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmana va prakrite svabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayana yeti samarpayami. The meaning of this verse is, I use my kaya, my body, my manasa, my mind, my vacha, my words, and my very soul itself. I engage everything in the Supreme Lord's service. So this is actually the Parodharma, path of Parodharma. So if you become a friend of Krishna, if you become like the friends like Shidama Sudama Madhumangal, or if you become a devotee of Krishna, by praying only for love, we will go to the spiritual sky, never to return back to the material world. And in spiritual world, all water is honey, nectar, and everybody doesn't walk, they all dance. And nobody just speaks words like ordinary words, they all only sing poetry. So we can go to that spiritual sky, which is the most blissful place of everlasting happiness. And that is achieved only by performing Parodharma, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.